Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you an apple and a plum and an apricot or two. Hey.
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us. Today's guest is Leanne Moore. Leanne is the owner of Oceanside Jams. She's a master food preserver with the University of California Cooperative Extension, and she's a member of the Wiat tribe. We're going to talk about growing up in Humboldt and growing up Wiat. Are there traditional foods that you ate growing up?
Mostly things like eel, Dungeness crab, salmon, ducks, things like that. Anything that was in season and you could hunt or fish or harvest in some way. We ate a lot of abalone as well when we were growing up.
Now, growing up, your dad did a lot of hunting and fishing.
Right, with my grandfather.
Okay. And is that how he really learned how to do that sort of thing? Or did he grow up kind of hunting and fishing? And
well, he grew up as a little mischief. And judges and people like that who really cared about him took him fishing and hunting a lot.
And I know that he is big into salmon fishing.
Yes, he is.
Uh-huh. Has he ever taken you out salmon fishing?
As a child, yes. We would go out salmon fishing quite often. But I'm one of these people that get seasick, so he didn't really like to take me as much as he had to. Maybe I should say it that way.
I know, I feel the same way. I'm like, I love the idea of salmon fishing, but in reality, it just doesn't work out for me.
You know, clamming, you know, abalone, things like that was a lot easier, but he always took us with him, no matter what he was doing, even, you know, day fishing, surf fishing, all that kind of stuff.
And did he always prepare that meal of those things that he harvested?
I would always say it was a joint adventure, my mother and my father. They always cooked in the kitchen together, no matter what he, you know, had harvested that day or killed that day. So,
And your mom, did she take you foraging? I mean, how did you start doing the foraging for berries?
I would say it was more my grandmother, my mom's mom. She was always outside. She was not an indoor lady at all. She was always outside doing something. So that's how I was always outside. Her the grandchildren are always outside with her. We were her little helpers.
Uh-huh. It's good to have helpers when you're picking berries because you have to pick so many of them. Did you guys go out for like a day and pick berries all day? Or
we did that with huckleberry, especially with my great-grandmother, Hazel James. She would love, this was her favorite meal, you know, take smoked eel. We'd go up on what we call Huckleberry Hill and be there all day, wait for the noon whistle from Lolita because we could hear the noon whistle, have our lunch, and then we'd be there the rest of the day until, you know, all the buckets were full and we were done.
Uh-huh. And did you, then you took the berries home and what did you do with them?
I actually don't remember what they did with them. I just remember they cleaned them and I don't know. I remember having a lot of huckleberry pie, that type of thing.
Yeah.
My grandmother made jam, but I don't specifically remember her making jam with huckleberries, but I know we did.
Yeah. And when did you start making jams?
I started going to demos in Sacramento, California for the Master Food Preserver program in the late 90s, early 2000. My sister happened to work for somebody that had a nice big farm and was always bringing things into work and giving them away, you know. And then my sister said, well, we need to can apricots. We need to do this. We need to do that. So I really started canning. We went to demos to make sure we remembered how to do it because we've been a while since we'd done it. And I would say at that point in time, that's how I started canning. And then I thought about the county fair and the state fair, and I started competing and going from there.
Now, in terms of teaching people food preservation, I know that you're really passionate about doing that. I mean, I'm wondering, like, what are some of the reasons why you think it's important that people learn how to preserve food?
Well, it's really rewarding to me because I've helped children can and bake for many, many years. And for them to come back as adults and say, you know, that's one of my fondest memories as a children is very rewarding. But I also like to teach people how to do things. And it's not difficult to can. It's just getting the equipment, the jars. I mean, we have plenty resources here to get fruit and vegetables here. And it's just putting it in a jar. You know what you're eating. And people love to hear that pop sound, or kids love to hear that pop sound. It's just a great way to spend time with your children.
I know, that's one of my earliest memories of mom and grandma canning. Yeah. Now, about smoking eel, have you ever done that?
I've helped my dad clean eel. I mean, I've certainly, you know, helped prepare it and eat it after it's come out of the smokehouse. But I actually didn't really, you know, keep the fire burning and see how, make sure the temperature was just right and the time and all that type of thing.
Uh-huh. When you clean eel, what is it like when you get them? Like, what is the, you know, does your dad go out and he catches eel and then brings it back and cleans it?
Well, the last few years we've been pretty fortunate because my dad's considered an elder and all the younger people are bringing them back clean.
Ooh, that's even better. You don't have to go through that process.
But as a kid, I remember always helping clean them uh-huh. as a child.
And he would go out fishing for them. Did he use a trap or did he use the kind of hook method? I know there's a couple different methods of
catching. When we would go to the Eel River, we would use a hook. But when we're at the mouth of the Eel River, we'd use nets. Like for surf fishing and stuff like that, you use those dip nets. Because you can get, uh-huh. a lot of times you can get 4, 5, 6, or 7 eel at a time.
Oh, okay. And then did you, like when you dipped and you caught those or whoever caught those, did you then just run those back to shore? And
right.
Yeah.
And that's when the kids all had fun with them, yes.
Uh-huh. Oh, you played with them.
Yes.
Because they're kind of a creepy looking little animal, those eels.
They are.
But the kids kind of, I mean, I think that's the important thing is you get familiar with it from a young age. So it's not quite as creepy as if you just saw them for the first time when you're older.
Yeah, you want them to suck on your hands and your arms and your legs. You know, as kids, we'd play with them that way.
Oh, and you know, those teeth look gnarly, but they're not like they're going to bite you, right?
I don't ever recall being bitten by eel. I just uh-huh. remember playing and having them suck on me. Your,
uh-huh. Yeah. Okay. And then... And so you've got these eel and you've been playing with them. And then what? How do you clean them?
Well, I mean, you cut them, you know, like a snake, you know, straight down the back. You make sure you get that center piece out of them.
I heard there's like it's a gristly piece.
Right. And I just remember always pulling that out.
Uh-huh. And then you just, once you cleaned them, you just kind of put them, chilled them until you're ready to do something with them?
Well, we almost always smoked them. We'd smoke them just for maybe 2 to 3 hours, and then my mother would fry them up or sometimes even bake them.
Oh, I didn't realize that. I thought that when they were smoked, you just kind of ate them smoked.
Yeah.
And that they were kind of dry.
But she liked a little smoke on them, and then I remember putting them in the oven, and I remember her frying them.
Did you ever can them?
No.
I've seen people can them, and it's really delicious because I think, you know, with that pressure canning with them, they get even more tender, uh-huh. and they're just so delicious with that little bit of smoke.
I've seen them canned, but I didn't eat them that way growing up, so I would really prefer how I enjoyed them as a child.
Sure, yeah.
And I'm not so ambitious to try them in a jar.
Did you ever gather acorns?
No, and we never gathered acorns, but I remember always attending... I will say Native American meetings with my grandmother all the time, and they always had acorn soup, and I remember her always telling, try the acorn soup, try the acorn soup, try the acorn soup. And no matter how many times I tried it, I didn't care for it. I wasn't a fan.
I think it's one of those things, too. It's like, I think introducing kids to these flavors, it kind of forms this bond in your mind of these memories, like warm memories of being with your grandmother eating the soup. So that's why she was trying to get you to try it, but right. didn't work on you, huh?
Right. And I know the other thing, a lot of times when we went eeling, my grandmother would always make sand bread.
What's that?
She would get the fire warm and get the sand warm and then put her dough in there. And then we'd have sand bread, you know, as they were eeling.
So the dough didn't stick to the sand?
No. Well, I mean, you always brushed it off.
Oh, and it baked in there.
It baked in the warm sand or the hot sand.
I've never heard of that. And was it a wheat bread?
Yeah, kind of similar to what they make Indian tacos with, similar to that. But she'd always get the sand hot and put the bread in there or the dough in there and bake it. And then we'd have sand bread when we were eeling.
And it's making my mouth water.
I remember that. Yeah.
That's interesting. Did you ever use the smokehouse at Table Bluff? I'd noticed that when I was up there, I didn't realize that, but there's a smokehouse up there?
It wasn't there when I was growing up.
Okay.
Everybody in what we call the old reservation had their own smokehouses. There were a lot of individual smokehouses or family smokehouses, but not one community smokehouse.
Yeah. Did you smoke salmon?
Oh, yes.
Uh-huh. And how did you go about doing that? I know there's kind of different techniques on...
We just cut it in long strips and put it on a string and... They had nails along the, you know, a piece of board or whatever, and then we'd put it in the smokehouse. I remember hours and hours of doing that.
Uh-huh. About how many salmon do you think you smoked at a time?
Sometimes a truckload.
Wow. Like a year, because you needed to put away the food for the year.
Right. And yeah. We always loved smoked salmon. I mean, we always had smoked salmon growing up, just like smoked eel.
How did you keep it? Because I've made smoked salmon before and put it in the refrigerator thinking, oh, it'll keep forever. And it didn't really keep forever. It got moldy.
I remember always having those two items behind my grandmother's stove. a wood stove that she had. She always kept the smoked salmon there and the smoked eel there.
Oh, so maybe just that constant dry heat just kept it
dry.
Oh, that's interesting.
I remember she had a box back there. Always smoked salmon and smoked eel. And like brown paper bags, but they were always sitting behind the wood stove.
Oh, okay. And when you smoke the salmon, I think one of the things, when people fillet salmon, there's all that salmon that's left on the bones. Is there something special that you did with that?
My grandmother always just made a stew. I mean, she always cooked the bones, whether it was a chicken or a salmon or anything else. I mean, she always made a broth, I would say, with the leftovers. And we always made, like, salmon gravy. I mean, she just like, you know, a lot of people, they don't waste anything.
Yeah, that's what I noticed. And, you know, I think sometimes we lose those memories of how to preserve things or how to cook them.
Right.
Yeah, along the way.
But yeah, I always remember her making gravy on toast, salmon gravy on toast. That's what I remember.
That sounds pretty good right now. Well, thank you so much, Leanne. Uh-huh. Thank you for coming and sharing about growing up in Wyoc country.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
This program was supported in part by the Northwest California Tribal Communities Extension Program, a USDA-funded project through the University of California Cooperative Extension of Humboldt and Del Norte counties.